We need help. I'm not talking about financial help is great, but we're looking for actual flesh and blood people, individuals, whoever that God would call to the mission field to be a help. You know, pray for us that over this summer that God would speak to the heart of somebody, anybody. I don't care if they're blind, if they have legs. We'll take anybody at this point. No, but honestly, we're praying for help. You know, our full prayer is that God would send us four families or four individuals that would come help us in Serbia. But if God sends us one, we'll praise Him. If God doesn't send anybody, we'll praise Him because He's worthy to be praised, and we'll just do what we have to do. But we'd ask you to pray with us, and that's our biggest need. Before we do our Bible today, I do want to explain some things here that thanks to your support and your help, you can ask more questions about this later, that I've been able to help coordinate the Bible project that's been finished in the Serbian language. It was a conglomeration of people that helped us do this, but it is finished. And so if you're a fan of the King James Bible and you want to read something equivalent to that in the Serbian language, you now have that. And I want to thank you guys for helping make that possible. Other things that we have is we have material back there. And then I also want to point out that we have prayer cards. Please feel free to pick those up, take those with you. And I think we have probably the world's first digital/physical pictures, if you feel like you'd like to take one. What do I mean by that? Well, there's actually, if you take your phone and you tap it to the bottom corner of this phone, it'll pull up our website. And so you can take that technology with you, but you'll see on the back of it is a small NFC tag that connects to our website. Now, we use these a lot in Serbia, and I'll explain some of that more. But, yeah, so I point that out because also one of the things we've done is we've trying to do outreach in Serbia, we started creating small little books for people. And one of the books that we created was a children's story. So if you're a mom or a dad that have kids and would like a good Christian story to read to your kids, come see us. We have those for free, free PDF downloads, and you can get that right on the back of this picture. Or you can get it right on the back, scan the QR code. It takes you to our website. You can download that and have a fun little interactive story about our family and our names right there. So some of the things we've done like that, we like to share those with our neighbors in Serbia. You know, they get to know who we are and things like that. So it's just a fun little project. Does anybody have a business card with just a one-sided business card? Does anybody have one of those in your wallet? Does anybody have one? It doesn't even have to be your business. You have one? Milos, why don't you run back here to the guy behind the blue there and grab that business card from him? Right there. All right, super. This worked out better than I thought. Super, all right. Bring that here. Thank you. Now just hold on 1 second. Sonic Lawn Care. All right, take this back to him for me, will you? Now you have business card with your church's gospel track on the back. You see how easy that is? You know, I looked up on the church website and you have a how to go to heaven, right? And I took that and I programmed it, put it on the little chip right here, and I put it on the back of a business card. So now every time you hand out your business card, you can also give the gospel at the same exact time. You see, the things that we can do these days, this doesn't take a lot of effort. I think it took me 3 seconds to do that. So you take your iPhone or your Android, you turn on NFC, and you tap it to your phone, and it brings up the gospel right there. So the things that you can do if you're not, you know, paranoid about technology, I know sometime we can. I'm probably, you know, I'm like, if we're going to go down with technology, I'm driving the boat, right? You don't want me on the plane, okay? That's just the way. You even seen the video, right? You seen the robot with our logo on it? Okay, it's overboard, I admit. So it's a little weird, okay? But yeah, so the things that we can do. Why did this happen? Well, because in Serbia, I'm like, yes, give the gospel, but whenever I say the gospel, people many times turn it away. But when I make a track that's about what happens after you die, sometimes they take that one. If I make a track about, you know, what is heaven like and will you be there, sometimes they'll take that. But it got to be a point where I'm carrying around like 15 tracks with me, you know? And I'm like, all right. Oh, you? Okay, let me, you know, I'm thumping through them like poker cards almost, you know? And I'm like, okay, this one's for you. I'm like, this is a little much. And so I was researching it, and I found that I can make all my tracks digital, and then while sitting there, I can just program that track and say, here you go, take that with you. And it turned into be videos. And so now a lot of the things that we do is we make digital media, social media, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, all those things. We make those tracks on those social platforms. And then when I'm with somebody, I'm the back of a taxi, and someone asks me, what do I do? Well, I made a video for that. So I said, I don't have a lot of time, but here's a keychain. Take that keychain, scan that, and that'll tell you what we do and why we're in Serbia, right? So I can give little keychains away. I have a 3D printer, a little cheap one. We 3D print these keychains. You can see those in the back. So I'm just thinking, like, Lord, what can we do and how can we get after it? And that really ties into our message today because we're going to be in John chapter 3. So turn into your Bibles in John chapter 3. Just sit it right there. Thank you. John chapter 3. And of course, you know, the difficult part about going to a church that has, you know, good pastorship is you're not going to teach anybody anything new. But the bad part is they've already heard everything. You know, I can't bring anything exciting to you. But the Bible is exciting in itself, you know. You know, of course, we're going to be in John chapter 3, and you know the story. It says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he might be able to. No. Your Bible does not say that? No, it says, he cannot see. Like, there's no second option. Does it seem like there's other options? You know, it may be the best way. No, it's the only way, unless a man be born again. That's the message. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, we love you. Be with us this evening. I pray you'd bless these people and encourage them and be with us this night. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, as missionaries, well, you know, kind of like Christianity and Christians in general, sometimes we have, well, not sometimes, all the time, I believe that we have the truth. That part's not debatable. I mean, I believe that we have the truth. The Bible is truth, and we have the truth. And I believe, you know, when I grew up in a small town in Trenton, one of the things that, you know, my uncle was the piano player. My other uncle was a song leader, right? And, you know, all the people in the church were cousins. We's related. It's maybe part of my problem. You know, I don't know. But as I grew up in that church, and I went to public school, and you know what I realized going to public school is it seemed that my friends were having much more fun in life than I did. Well, what I thought was fun was actually sin, right? And so as I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at my mom and dad and my family, and I'm like, man, I'm getting to be a teenager, right? I think even Pastor said, you know, his teenage years were a little bit shady when he was growing up, you know. But I was looking out there, and I said, you know, if we do have truth, if what we believe is really true, if hell is real and people that die go there, and we really believe what we believe, then how are we doing, right? How is this message around the world? Someone might ask, how does a farm kid from North Missouri who builds houses and does construction, and how does he go from that to that? That's a pretty big extreme. I'll tell you, it's not easy. Furlough is not easy. Deputation is not easy. Living overseas with your family, it's not easy. Trying to juggle all this stuff together is not easy. And I would quit today if I didn't see that it was still worth it. and that he still wasn't holy, and that I was doing his work, not my work. So as I began to look at all that, I began to look at the Bible, I'm like, I'm almost kind of looking at the Bible for a way out, if that makes sense. Like, all right, I'll find something in here that gives me a reason not to be in church. But the more I read it, the more I seen it, the more it resonated, and the more I see, you know what, this is truth. And because it is truth, man, I got to do something about it. I began to see scriptures like, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. You know, it's like, you make me sick. You know, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. So when he speaks to Nicodemus here, he gives him the answer. He said, unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So we see clearly that there is one way. You know, being overseas, being in Europe, there's a lot of, dare I say, how would I say this? I need my wife up here with me. Smartness. Is that a good word? Is that educationalism? I'm trying to make things up now, okay? But there's this idea of like, you know, we have the wisdom, and you Christians are just mentally set back, okay? And that's what they think. And so if there is some Christianity, many times there could be some that say, well, everybody has their way. You know, this guy believes in Islam. You know, he has his way. This guy believes in Christianity, Jesus. This guy believes in Hinduism. And there's multiple ways. You know, the Native Americans have their way. But it seems to me, if you believe what Jesus said, he says that there is one way. Unless he be born again, the only way is to be born again. It doesn't say to be baptized. It doesn't say to go to church. It says to be born again. But that was the message. So we have that. That's unmovable, right? So when we go to Serbia, we don't really have to worry about that. That's set in stone. When we look at the man, Nicodemus, man, I see a lot of similarities. You know, when I go over to Europe, I go there particularly. I think of religion, heavy-duty religion, and you look at what Jesus was in. Jesus was born into a heavy religious atmosphere, was he not? For sure. Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a head honcho in this religious atmosphere, you know? But there was something about this Jesus. You know, Jesus, of course, did a public ministry. And as I'm in Serbia, I think, brother, I said, as I'm in church, I go to church, I invite people to church, but how can I be out with people more? A lot of the work that Jesus did wasn't necessarily in a temple or in a place. He was out amongst people, and people heard those messages. And I think, man, how can I do that more? So as a missionary, I'm constantly thinking, well, what can I do to be out there more that maybe doesn't end the same way that Jesus' ministry ended? You know, just saying, you know, how far can I go here? You know, there's a lot of similarities between Nicodemus and where we are today overseas in Serbia. There's religious people who have their tradition, but there's what I believe is there's a lot of Nicodemuses. And those Nicodemuses, they're interested, but they aren't going to step in back behind the Baptist door, right? But what they'll do is they'll kind of glance. It's like, what's this about? Maybe it's you at your workplace. You say, well, so what are you guys teaching over there, right? And you're, in a not really good way of saying it, you are the darkness in a good way. You're that mechanism that God used to help your colleague come to Christ. For Nicodemus, that mechanism was darkness. Okay, now maybe I'm inferring things wrongly here, but it seems to me that he was a ruler of the Jews. He already believed in God. He had that taken care of. Most of the people that we work with believe in God. They believe in God, they believe in heaven, they believe in hell. They've got, seems to be, 90% of it out of the way. But they've got some things missing. Amen. Just like Nicodemus had a couple things missing. Now Nicodemus, of course, the story goes that he was a ruler. So he had his career, he had his life already set. Maybe a retirement plan, maybe a 401k, however they do it in the Jewish society there. But he had his life kind of already going on. And for him to risk talking with a, now listen, this is the words they use for us, cult leader. Now understand, that's what Jesus was in the Jewish culture. Okay? So in the same way that many times we would look at, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and things like that and all these other, you know, wild things, that's how they perceive Jesus. He knew their way, but he was teaching something different. Okay? So, we see that he came to Jesus by night, obviously because he was interested, but not ready to be seen interested. Right? He's asking questions. You know, he's dabbling in Jesus, you could say. You know what I've seen? I've seen that same spirit there. You know, when you hand a track out and someone maybe wants to take it, but they look over and their friend is like, oh, I don't want that, crazy person. Wow. We literally take these Bibles and we go to markets. You know, a market's like an old farmer's market. They call it a piazza. And we'll put Bibles on the table. And we'll put them out there. We'll have material. We have one book that we created. It was, If God Exists, Then Why? Talk about if, why does bad things happen? So we put that little small booklet out there. And next thing you know, some people come by and they say, oh, wow, that's nice. It's cool. I like that. And then their mom or their uncle or someone comes by and says, put that down. They're secta or cult. It's like, how do you get past the grandma? How do you get past the sister or the brother? Well, I believe God is in this world, in this modern day, he's creating ways and paths for that to happen. I believe it's up to us to find the proper paths to reach people. And so that's, pray for us as we try to do that. I don't want to be pragmatic, right? But I want to reach people. But how do we do it? You know, we don't change the message. We don't change the message at all. But there's ways that we can go about it. And so sometimes with social media, sometimes with these different types of tracks and different things, they're like nostalgia. No, not nostalgia. What's the word I'm thinking of? Where like technology, there's a word. I'm just going to sit here and let her think about it, make it awkward. Not nostalgic. Anyway, there's a word for it. I just don't know it. But people are it's a cool little knick-knack. You know, that's the thing. So they'll take it, they'll look at it, they'll scan it. Are you thinking about it? You find it, the word? You can't think about it? Anyways, well, you'll think about it later. You know, the Lord didn't send me to Serbia because I was smart. He sent me because I was able, and, you know, that was about it. So, and I have a good wife. I'm telling you, if you're going to go to the mission field, you need a godly, strong wife. And that's no joke. I'm telling you. You know, when I cry, she's the one, you know, patting my head. I'm not even kidding you at all. And so I praise God for my wife, and I'm thankful for her. She holds it together. And so I wanted to focus on the man and say, man, there's so many people out there who are looking for Jesus, but they're not ready for this. What does that mean? That means God has prepared different means to introduce people to church, to him. Sometimes that's you. You know, I know sometimes we are lost people, we invite people to church. Hey, that's great. But don't forget, sometimes people aren't ready to go see Jesus in the daylight. Sometimes they just need to come to your house for coffee. Sometimes they just need to go bowling with you and the other guy from church. You know? Sometimes they just need to go to the deer stand with you. I'm up for that, okay? You know, so sometimes instead of passing people off, say, hey, go talk to pastor, don't forget that maybe God has created us. We got kids. sometimes kids are a great means. I mean, so many times my wife has been out in the community somewhere at a park, and God has used the children to say, hey, how do you keep your kids from killing each other? And my wife says, well, right? And it starts up a conversation, you know? And, you know, right now we're doing homeschooling, you know, and that's a means. I mean, there's such a great opportunity if there's a family in America somewhere willing to help us do a homeschool ministry over in Serbia. Hey, that'd be awesome. There's people asking for homeschool, but we just don't have the time and effort to be able to put into all that stuff. But there's people available to do these things. Maybe it's your homeschool. Maybe there's a homeschool group. Maybe there's things like that. It's a means that God is using. People aren't ready, so when you invite someone to church and they say, oh, no, thank you, that doesn't mean they're not interested in Jesus. They're just not ready to come in the daylight. So don't forget that when someone turns you down or they turn away a track. Always know that maybe still on the inside they're searching for something. And you could typically tell, you know, you could typically tell people are searching because, you know, what do? We're always searching for something. It's this lady's always going through a divorce. She's always has a new husband, right? They're always trying to get a different car somehow to make peace and happiness in their life, but they're never finding it. But you know who has that perfect peace and joy that passes all understanding. And they're looking for it. So I say, be sensitive to those times. Because many times in Serbia, I know by me inviting them to church, they're probably not going to go over well. But you know what sometimes they will do? Hey, let's get together for coffee and I'll tell you about it. And then we talk. And then you know what happens after that? Sometimes he says, maybe I'll show up. And sometimes they do. But you know what? Sometimes they don't. Because if they're caught going to a Baptist church, you see, many times they live in the same house as their mom, as their dad, as their grandma, as their grandpa. And so here's a young guy that says, man, that I like that church. I've watched some stuff online. I've seen some of his messages. I like that. I'm going to go. So 9 a.m., he gets up to leave the house. Grandpa asks, where are you going? I'm going to the church. I don't know. Where are you going? I'm going for bread and milk. Where are you going? Are you going to go to that Baptist guy's place? If you go there, don't come back here. We're Orthodox. You know that. And I'm not going to let a traitor sleep in my house. It gets tense. It gets real tense. And so sometimes it's to bring people along. That's what discipleship is it not? So the first thing I want to talk about was the man. You know, sometimes people, they're looking for Jesus, but they're not ready to make that step. And I believe God has created means and ways and people to help bring people along that journey. And why do I mention that? Because I, from growing up in church, I have seen so many people just feel it's your calling to get people to church. That's it. And maybe some of you are looking at me like, that's the first time you've ever heard that's a bad thing. Well, it's still a good thing. But there's so much more you can do. Like, be a witness. Yes. Right? In your job, along with people. You know, talk to them about the Bible personally. Learn the Bible so that you can share it with them as well. So that's the person. The second idea here is the ministry. For Nicodemus, the ministry that brought Jesus to was the cover of night. Though he can still venture and see. You know, what's one of the reasons for us? Everybody's different. For us, social media, technology works really well. And we have a lot of people that follow and see and are listening and watching what we do. And it's slowly, I believe, beginning to change the thought processes, right? And through time, I believe God's going to bring people where they say, listen, I'm going to go to that church. I'm going to do that. We give testimonies about salvation and things on there as well. And then lastly, and then we'll let you go here, is the third thing that we see is that we already know. And that's the call to a new life. You know, Nicodemus, I believe, became a saved, born-again Christian, right? Now, I don't know if he ever lost his job. I don't know if he ever got kicked out. But here's what I do know, is that he was willing to be. I believe at the end, Jesus became more important to him than these things. Maybe I'm inferring too much into that. But nothing like these Serbian people, sometimes they're going to hang on to tradition so much they sacrifice truth. But there will be times when people see that the truth is so much more important that they're willing to sacrifice family. And for me, growing up in the U.S., it's like, you go to a Methodist church, you go to a Lutheran church, you go to a Catholic church. Most people are like, yeah, whatever. But over there, it's intense. Like, people really honestly believe that they are the successors of the apostles. And if they let their religion go, they are letting down the apostles and the saints themselves. It's wild. And to think about giving that up, it's too much for many people. So, a call to a new life. I want to give two conclusions tonight. One conclusion I want to give to the church, to you guys. We often spend much time praying for the message, which we should. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We know that, and we keep that. But the truth, we know the truth does not need to change, but perhaps sometimes we should pray about the means. What am I doing in my life that could change? How can I be more of a witness to the people around me? And sometimes, I know we have military, sometimes you're kind of limited on what you can say or what you can do. But still, I believe God has placed each of us in a place for a time. Man, I was at a gas station, and I don't have one of those tags with me, but I was fueling up, and the guy next to me, he says, "Is this for fun or for work?" Because I was pulling the camper. And he said, I said to him, "No, it's for work. You know, we're missionaries from Serbia, and we're here reporting." "Really? Well, what are you doing over there?" And it started a conversation. I was able to give him our card, and he reached out to us on social media. And next thing you know, he pulls out of his wallet, says he gives us $20. He says, "I just feel need to give this to you." Right? Now, not every time you witness someone, they're going to give you $20. It's not probably going to happen a lot, okay? But I'm saying, the fact that I had a camper on my car pulling it down the road is a means to where that guy can use it. So take advantage of all those things that God gives you and when he gives you. Now, I want to give the second conclusion to those here that are the Nicodemuses. Because I would be foolish to think that there's not people here or that people you might know as a husband or a daughter that is interested in Christ, in the things of God, but they're fearful to take that step. You know, someone might think, you know, I don't want to pray and ask God to save me because what if he asked me to do something weird, like this guy, you know? What if I've got this addiction, and I know if I pray and ask God to save me, if I give him my life, if I become born again, I know he's going to want me to give that up, right? So we call these stumbling blocks, yeah. And I'm telling you, there is no greater life, no matter what you have to give up. There's no better life, there's no greater life than living the life that God has created you to be. You know? You think about a family. You know, I have my wife and all my children and my Milos. And I could design how I want my family to operate. You think about it. Maybe you could think about a jet. All right? So we're here with all these jets flying over, you know? And if I was to design a jet, you would probably be scared to fly on it, probably more than likely. You know, when God built the family, you know, now in modern days, a pastor talks about it, we have a struggle with identity. We have a struggle with masculine leadership. We have a struggle with ladies, you know, Me and ladies, you know, we have it out of order. And when we do those things out of order, we suffer the consequences, don't we? Kids grow up confused and families break apart and divorces happen. And all this secondary problems go on. Why? Because we thought, I know better, I'll do it my way. Right? So the very same thing can be said as your soul. I'm telling you, if you're here today and you don't know him, if you've not surrendered yourself to say, Lord, I've been trying to do this on my own. I've been trying to make it work. But it's yours now. That's the same message we give to them. They have tradition, they have religion, and they're so busy trying to make it work rather than just going back to the simplicity of God's word. It's so much more stress to hold it together. And it's so much more wonderful just to let it go and give it to God. Whether to be your future. You know, what if you are the one that God calls to send to Serbia? Is that going to be okay with you? Or is it going to ruin your life? Why would it ruin your life? It would ruin your plans. But have you thought about maybe your plans are not his plans? Right. You see? And maybe that life that you're so reluctant to live is maybe the most beautiful life that God would give you. You know? Look at my wife and my kids. I think, man, I wouldn't trade them for nothing. But I can remember a time in my life when I didn't want this type of life. But I wouldn't trade it for nothing. My wife, she was a feminist. I think she still is. No? No? No, okay. No. Good answer. No. No. But she, back in the day, she was a manager at a Ruby Tuesdays, and she was working for a lawyer, as a lawyer helper. So that was her life. She designed it. She said, man, I don't want kids. I don't want a husband. I want to build my life. I want to build my career. I'm going to be a self-made woman. Some of you guys are like, I'm a man. Okay. Well, at one point, her heart began to grow closer to God and his word. And as he began to melt her desires, gave her his desires. Man, now she has all this. She has this little bouncing little girl that she's always dreamed of having, but she wouldn't say it out loud. And she has me. So I don't get that. It wasn't a joke. I mean, but man, it's so good to serve the Lord. It's difficult. I said this morning, it's hard. And if God doesn't give us people to go back with, hey, we're going to go. And we're going to love the Lord, and we're going to serve him and do what we can. You know, sometimes God doesn't answer prayers in the way that you want them answered. And we know that. But we still pray. And I just want to say an ending back to those people that maybe have never trusted him. Maybe one that's never trusted him for salvation. Yeah, that's, you take care of that. But maybe it's number two. Maybe it's, you've never trusted him with your plans. And maybe you're nervous about going overseas. You can't have the white picket fence or the dream that you desired. But I'm telling you, 80% of our church is Russians. 80%. And here a few weeks ago, I was crossing the border into Bosnia. You've heard of Bosnia? Hello. We cross border into Bosnia with Bibles. We take car, we take van. Big van. We take lots of Bibles. We put them in car, and we go drive across border. You see, and in the car with me, I have one Mexican and one Russian. Mexican passport is green. Russian passport red. American passport blue. Yes, everybody say da, da, da. Super. And so we're crossing this border, and this policeman looks at us and it's like, we're crazy. He's like, what are you guys doing? It's like, well, we're going to give Bibles away in the piazza. I'm sure that guy was like, this is wild. You know? But the things that God has allowed us to do and to see, man, it wasn't too long ago that I had a family from Brazil that came to Serbia. And they were with us for several years. And you know what happened? At one point, they were going to have a baby, and I was there with them. Not, you know, but they were going to have a baby, and next thing you know, they were like, hey, what are we going to do about our religion? I'm a Catholic, and you're Baptist. And I taught them kind of how to use AI a little bit. I said, hey, this is kind of how I would use it if you're going to use it. And they joined our church and were baptized, rebaptized, because of ChatGPT. Talk about a crazy world that we live in. And they became members of our church because of ChatGPT. Wild enough. And I'm thinking, the life that I get to live is wild. And I'm blessed. And I get to travel around and see churches and people like you. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being behind us. But I also want to say that I can't imagine. When I came home here, there were 4 Baptist churches in our area that not only closed their doors, but they sold the buildings. Property. They sold it. What that tells me is that they've really tried to get some man, some woman, some family to come and take this church. And because of the extreme no's, they said they just give up and sell the place. Are you kidding me? We should be doing more, not selling places. Amen. So that tells me that there's people living amongst us today that are either afraid to step out, or they're not properly hearing God's calling. I don't know what the issue is, but I would say this. His way is better than our ways. And I'll leave you with that. I thank you for the time, Pastor.